Hello. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat.
Hello, ballers, and welcome to the SC Ballers Podcast. I am the coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Round one is done and dusted. All the preseason planning is in the rearview mirror, and we are ready to roll, ready to throw all of that analysis out for round one hot takes and vibes only. It was a high scoring round one in which you needed around 1,250 points to have had a pass score if you're a serious super coach. But all is not lost for those who didn't, with early season trades and boosts a quick fire solution to get your team firing and back on track. We're going to go through all those options tonight and for the most strategic outcomes for your team. Joining me tonight, we're a two-man pod tonight. It's going to be good fun. Someone who, despite a potentially season-defining, crippling knee injury to Ryan Couchman, he managed a very respectable 1285 to kick off his 2025 season. It's the 2014 third place overall finisher and coach of the Casabin Eaters, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome back to the SC Ballers Podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. I think I was the only one in Supercoach though, Ryan Couchman. I just had that as the play. Ultra Pod really went into a deep dive on Thursday night, trying to find. You know, we were all about not taking mid rangers last week, and I'm like, who can I get? You know, looking at Toby Couchman for so long, going, these stats are incredible. And I had a quick look at the reserve grade stats of Ryan Couchman, and I was just like, I nearly had an aneurysm seeing him. 78 average in reserve grade. When he played 50 to 65 minutes, goes down to 72. And I'm like, this guy's an absolute machine. And then I just quickly went back to the trials, watching him come on after 20, go take Luch off into the middle afterwards. I'm like, if this guy gets 50 minutes, this is going to be insane. So locked him in, telling everyone how hyped I am about him. As Jono mentioned, gave him a U up. I was just on my feet, ready to go. And yeah, got up at 6 a.m., flipped it on. Okay, here we go. He's on after 20. Second hit up, does his ACL. Just turned it off, went back to bed.
Thanks for coming.
So it felt like I was playing a man down. Got Metcalf's 12 in the score. I don't know if many people got that apart from unfortunate Casey McLean owners or something like that. But yes, ended up with a 1285, which was good. You know, the ball's rolling. Looking forward to making a few swings this week. How about you? How'd you go?
Yeah, I had a 1299, which I was pretty happy with. Everything went sort of all right without flying. I was mainly the biggest disappointment of the weekend for me as a non Isaiah Yongi owner was that late try, which sort of scraped him up from a sort of not really respectable score. Obviously they got pumped.
Yeah.
From a trade him in decision, he might be a must get in round three, which is frustrating.
Makes it very very tough.
I was hoping to get him to round four. But So happy with the score. Munster obviously fired, and I think like you spoke about the not going mid ranges has really worked out well. So I managed to dodge all the mid range back row carnage, which happened again. Tom Gilbert was really the only one who worked out. Just like we said, there's going to be one who works out, but you just don't know which one it's going to be. Seyfarth struggled. He obviously had a HIA, but didn't really fire a shot. So pretty happy overall, happy with team setup. I've got a big decision whether I want to make three trades or zero this week, which we'll get into a minute. But I think there are multiple paths you can go down, whatever your team setup. So we'll get into the trade strategy stuff in a minute. I want to give a big shout out to everyone who signed up at baller.promo and has entered into our league. It's been an amazing sign of everyone's excitement around Baller and the SC Ballers particularly. It was great to see the NRL physio gave us a bit of a plug on his socials last week. We've had hundreds and hundreds of signups, and the league is still open, and we'd love more and more people to come and join. So we'll have all the links in the podcast details, but baller.promo is where you need to head to sign up, watch a fun video, and then enter yourself in the SC Ball League. Don't make us come hunt you down. We'd love to have you at Baller. We've got some really exciting stuff about to drop actually, and we're doing some final testing to get a site up and running, and it's going to be super super exciting. But just wanted to thank everyone who signed up. thanks for following us on socials. We've grown a lot in a week, and we're pumped around some of the content we're putting out. We got producer Gramsy chucking a lot of good stuff out there. It's good to have him on board. And yeah, and we're pumped for a big season over at Baller headquarters. So yeah, the SC Ballers up and running. You enjoyed the transition, Danny Boyd, to SC Ballers?
Yeah, I have actually. I'm more excited about the content that you're saying that's coming out. It's the online stuff, the projections, the live scoring. There's so many things that are just going to be like just so much more entertaining for Supercoach. You know, people are just going to be hovering over that site. So yeah, very, very excited. Also really enjoying the Sunday pod that we've launched as well. So the Sunday Snap with Jono and our man Tubes, you know, the king of hyperbole. I know you're keen on some Broncos coming in this week, Matty, but no more keen than Tubes on Geremat Shibasaki.
He took it to a new level. I've never heard a comparison like this. If you haven't listened to the Snap, which I'm sure many of you have, Tubes managed to make a comparison with 27-year-old Geremat Shibasaki with a quote as, he looked like a young GI, in reference to Greg Inglis, future immortal. Is he already immortal? One of the greatest players of our generation. And Shibasaki. Now, to be fair to Tubes, Shibasaki had a good game and looked fit and strong. But yeah, Jono very, very rightly pulled him up on that. I think the quote, I just was having a look at the transcript before, the quote was, no, 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 Gus Gould style. We are not going there. So that was a lot of fun, And yeah, the Sunday Snap, it's live in your feed. It's in the same feed as the SC Ballers. I'm sure all our avid listeners would have already heard it and had a look. But honestly, how good is the Baller baritone, Jono, the host?
Oh, so good. So good.
You just can't help but get around those dulcet tones.
Yeah, love it. Not many people would know Tubes and Grazi, as they used to be called. Jono had a radio show back in Canberra, back in the early days, uni days. So I think, you know, they've got a very good, chemistry? Very good.
Yeah, chemistry.
You know.
Strong chemistry.
Yeah, so, and yeah, plenty of banter, Jono is not afraid to pull Tubes up on some of his ridiculous quotes. I think it's a little bit harder in the three-man pod when we just give Tubes the open floor. But yeah, Jono very, very much happy to pull him up on some of that rubbish he's spewing. So.
So much rubbish. Tubes tries it with you and I when he's on here, but it just doesn't, his strike rate's about 20%, so... It's better that he's putting out the opinions and Jono's pulling him up on it. But yeah, a lot of fun, the Sunday Snap. Thoroughly think that everyone should get around it. And it's just a great way when there's, you know, you got that gap, the round's over and you want to hear a bit of Supercoach content on your Sunday night or Monday morning. Great way to start the week. All right, Dan, let's get into our strategy chat now. And we're going to focus tonight on round 2 and 3 trades and how you're approaching it. It's obviously the biggest trade week of the year next week before the first set of price rises. Obviously, you know, the most people to the podcast will be aware of that and they would have noticed no price changes next week, but that all changes next week. So there's a lot of players on the radar in terms of trying to make some cash generation, and also, you know, guns who are going to be getting you those points. So I'll throw to you to start. How are you approaching round 2 to start with from a trade perspective and the impact that, how much you factor in round 3 into that decision-making?
Yeah, this is such an interesting round 2, because it is all about the strategic planning over the first price rises, right? But there's not a price rise this week. So there's a bit of forecasting you've always got to do. Round 3, round 4, you've got to look ahead to the next few rounds. A lot of traps can really burn you if you go early this week. So if you're bringing in someone for the cash, you've really, really got to make sure that they're playing round 3 and 4. And obviously injury can burn you in that sense. But, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. So I'm always about looking ahead all year, you know, looking at not just the next week for the cash grab, but like what's going to happen afterwards. So sometimes in this round, the best trade you can make is no trades, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think you've only got three trades in round three. You know, I think you were saying to me, like, I might have to make six trades round three. Like, it's just not going to be an option. So that's where you've got to jump ahead. So I'm assuming you're jumping ahead early this week with some trades.
Well, I'm considering it. Like, I think there's an option. Like you said, so my team's set up in a way that I'm pretty comfortable. So I don't have Payne Haas, and obviously he's the most traded in player at time of recording. He's been bought in by just over 7,000 super coaches this week. And obviously you can see why. 83 in base plus power. It just looked incredible. He had four offloads. If he has four offloads every week, then look out. I think you're right. I think it's very critical that if you're going early on a cheapie, that you know that they're going to be there in round three and four. It's more than critical. It's terminal if you don't do it. So
it's Ryan Couchman on the floor after 8 minutes terminal.
Yeah, we're going to have to let Ryan Couchman know how much mentions he's getting already. We're only 5 minutes into the pod and already he's got three. He's had his own segment and now he's been brought up in the first strategy session. He doesn't plan for the rest of the year. I'm sure he really cares about this at the moment too. I'm either going to make three trades in the green room. I'm either going to make three trades, like use my boost, or I'm going to make none. Now, I think that there is a lot of merit in getting your team set up as quickly as possible, which we spoke a little bit about in some of our preseason pods. You want to get the guys who are prevailing options that we just don't always see in the preseason. Like, you and I were very high on Haas in the preseason. We kind of figured that we saw a bit in the trials that they were going to be a bit more highly offloading team, and that if Pass was involved in that. But certainly the game style of the Broncos looks like it's going to be highly suitable, and his minutes were okay, 49, but he's going to do a lot of damage in 49 minutes each week. I've got to caveat all of that with, obviously, that's one game sample, so we don't know exactly what we're going to get, but it does, on the balance of probabilities, look like Payne Haas is going to be that number one or number two front rower that you're going to want to own this season. So I'm keen to bring him in. I can see why he's the most transferred in player this week to start. Mm-hmm. On the cheapy front there, Dan, like guys like Gashevsky, he looks like he's tied that spot down.
I don't know. Like, I mean, he got a try line break for a 66. Obviously great for owners at first up. He's going to get some cash rolling come round three or four. I think he's got it. Like, poor Pierre Cura after, 1 minute goes and gets sin binned. Thanks for coming. I don't think he's pushing that. If Broncos keep on the high and keep winning, he's going to be there. So looks pretty safe. But my expectation is 40 average, I think, going forward. Yeah,
agreed.
So you're looking at 100 grand there probably over the next five or six rounds, which is fine. It's really about your team makeup and, you know, where you're looking to go hard. So for me personally, I've gone pretty hard in center wing. I've got a lot of guns in that position. But it turns out there's going to be lots of cheapies through there as well. So I'm somehow trying to make a swing to get a few more guns up in that second row forward or even front row forward with the likes of Payne Haas, AFB. Really interesting. So last year we had a lot of, you know, center wings like just pumping really early. You know, dot ball, front row forwards. It nearly seems to have switched this year a little bit. So, you know, very, very much excitement around Haas and AFB. I'm going to give it one more week on those sort of boys just to have a look, particularly Haas. Like, if he locks that offload away a little bit, doesn't get as many tackle breaks. It was ridiculous. You know, a try assist, 11 tackle breaks, four offloads, like that every week. Yeah, you see it this week again, lock him in. A little bit up in the air about team strategy at the moment.
I just think that you want to get as much of that Broncos team as you can as quickly as you can. Their draw is obscene. So they've got Raiders this week away. I've checked the markets today. They're minus 12.5 point favourites. And with a 50-point total, not to get into betting too much in terms of from a technical perspective, but that means that their points in for the week is up around that low 30s mark. That's their hardest game for the next 5 weeks. Their next 4 weeks, they play at home. They play at Suncorp every week. They've got the Finns, the Tigers, the Roosters, and someone else not good. I don't have the draw right in front of me right now, but... they are in for so many points in the next month.
Yeah.
And I need, that's why I'm really eyeing off Jesse Arthurs as well, who I don't particularly rate as a player, but he is just going to score tries in that team. And he's going to make a lot of quick cash now. His place in the side is locked in as well. So I am considering a sideways move from Tass to him, even though Tass scored okay. I just think that Arthurs has so much more upside, and it's going to make a lot of money.
I don't know if I like that, actually. I feel like Broncos are going to be similar to starting with all these mid-rangers. So if you load up on Broncos, particularly in the backs, you know, which one's going to hit? Which, like, they're obviously going to score points. They're going to score tries. It's going to happen. One thing to look at is that, I've been saying it sort of all weekend to you guys, is like there was 1,150 Supercoach points scored by the Broncos on that weekend. Yep. I think that's a huge outlier. So it basically means that all of them scored, you know, high. So the average across the board for players.
Can you put that into context with what you would usually see from a team for a game like that?
So total points for a game, you're looking at all 17 players, how many, for the Broncos, for example, one team, how many they scored across the board. You know, a team gets belted, they're likely to score 600 points. Team goes well, they're likely to score 1,000 points. I would say probably somewhere around the 850 to 900 is probably the average scoring for a team. And Broncos have gone and smashed out 1,150 points for that round. So I think there's a bit of outlier. So I'm not saying Broncos aren't going to be good. There's going to be two, maybe even three of those backs that are going to just light up, and particularly if you're going to go for a cash grab, big opportunity there. You know, Shibasaki is a no-brainer if he's playing round three. Like, he's just going to be locked into everyone's side.
Correct.
But I just think you may get carried away, particularly if you're going three Broncos as your trades this week. You might get a bit stuck, like, who's going to score? Dean Mariner comes out and picks 100, 120, and then you've got the other two that just have gone, you know, mid-30s. So I would say just it is a little bit of a wait and see on those Broncos boys.
Yeah, I disagree. I want to get those guys in my team ASAP. And I, at the moment, I've made the trades. I'm just gonna percolate for a day or two, get closer to the Thursday night match and see how we're going. But I'm very high on the Broncos run coming up, and I'm keen to get Arthurs because I think he's locked into that left wing spot. And Gashevsky. Piakura, when he came on, he actually didn't replace Gashevsky. So obviously that could change. Gashevsky's not a great player. It's like, let's be honest. But obviously Madge sees something in him.
Yeah.
And with that 66 that he scored, he's now going to make some money. You know, maybe it's a get him in and get him out by around 5 or 6. But that's all good. So
Goss, is that investment that you just get in, lock away, never play him in your 17, I don't think, and he's just going to churn out some cash for you. So
Yep. Just on the trade or not to trade this week as well, I think that if you're not a Yongie owner, which obviously most of the listeners out there will be Yongie owners, I think that you should be more inclined to trade this week because he is going to be on the radar next week big time. So you might not have to get him. You could get him around 4, like I said, but you definitely need to have that optionality. You spoke about Dan Howe, like there's so many options at the moment at center wing, and that's true. That's with one round's worth of information. So there's going to be round two. There's going to be guys who come on the radar next week who we don't even know about yet. So I think there's an argument to just really set your team up, and I'm going to be exploring that. But I also, my first initial was to go no trades. And like I've got to trade to get Payne Haas, I've got to trade out probably Connor Watson, who got 80 minutes obviously in a badly beaten team. You're not happy with that?
Not at all. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Like Connor Watson, they got absolutely smashed, right? Watson's got the dual second row forward hooker. Like if you're running the cheapy strategy, like I don't think there's much confidence in Corey Pakes and Sandon Smith long term at that number one hooker spot.
There's no confidence.
No, so you're flipping Watson down if you've got him. I'm not trading, 55 in pretty much just base alone, playing 80 minutes. Like they're going to have to rely on him. He's going to get some attack, like, you know, just to go up to Haas, which we know what he can do. But I mean, I don't see huge value in that at all.
No, well, I think that my, so that trade actually leaves me a little bit thin on a front row and second row with, especially like, obviously I've got two dual nuffs there, but it would leave me with a second row bench of Gashevsky, Hubner and Geimer, and obviously Geimer's not been named today, so yeah, it's a bit thin, and I'll give a consideration, and I really want to, I think being aggressive is key, but I'd say it's probably a 50-50 call at the moment, but it's something for the listeners to think about in terms of their own setups.
Sure. I'm just going to pour tubes here and say, Matt, that's enough about your team for the week and your musings around what you're going to do. Let's get stuck into some of the pod, eh?
Yeah, hang on, though. Look, there's a lot of people in this position who don't own Payne Haas and don't own Jesse Arthurs and don't own Shibasaki. I own Shibasaki, but, you know, just to bring it back to my team for a minute, Dan, but... yeah, look, this is a highly like relevant topical conversation.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
So look, let's get into the player and the positional analysis anyway. To put a bit more context around each position, hooker is the place that we always love to start up at the top of the app. And Dan, like, why don't we look at the cheap options? Sandon Smith and Corey Pax. They're obviously highly owned, the two of them. Sandon Smith, they played against each other on the weekend. To put it, sort of even make it even easier. Corey Pax looked good generally from an NRL perspective. Scored a great try off a Payne Haas inside ball, and defended well. He played 55 minutes or 54 minutes, I believe, before being replaced for the last 25 minutes by Billy Walters. Sandon Smith, he was on zero at halftime, I think, or one. So really struggling. He did a bit more in the second half and got over for a consolation try, which got him up into the 50-point range. So a bit of a boon for owners there, but I think it's going to be pretty key to get those guys out of your team relatively quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of as we expected with Corey Pates. I think he had 21 in base plus power. That's it. You know, he got the try, which was great to get him up to a 50. But I'd say even that's low from what we expected in terms of his output for the time he gets in 50 minutes. So, I mean, one to watch. Hopefully with that Broncos draw, he's one of the ones to hit. You know, he's just reaping some of those rewards. I mean, how much would you love to play with Payne Haas and Pat Carrigan as just two starting props as a hooker? Ugh. Like, that's just... it's nearly an absolute dream. So I think he's just going to be in people's sides now. He wouldn't be one to trade in unless he has a really big score this week, and then you could probably look to downgrade the likes of Mamazelis, maybe even, you know, dare I say it, Connor Watson if he absolutely bombs this week. But I think those two, keep it, hold firm. I'm keen, even though they're playing the Panthers this week, I'm going to play Sandon Smith over Corey Pakes again. I just think he's got that upside. As you said, he scored 50 points in the second half there. He's got the goal kicking. I think Roosters can't be any worse. So I'm gonna run and just hope he gets some slight attack there this weekend.
But could you not say the same about Corey Pax, that he could get some attack against the Raiders?
Yeah, definitely. It's personal preference. I think it's a bit of a pick'em, you know, which
just
one
the
80 you think.
The 80 minute. He gets the 80 minutes there.
80
Smith,
minutes goal kicking. I don't think he's a bad player. I think in a good side, Sandon Smith showed some great form. So if Roosters just slightly turn that round a little bit, I think he's going to be good. So I'm going to leave him down for now. But definitely with the likes of Connor Watson, Max Plath, like if you guys get these second row forwards who can switch the dual up to hooker, I think that's a great play. And looking at those guys as the potential targets rather than another just hooker alone.
Speaking of Max Plath, that's probably a good segue for us to go to those dual guys. So Plath and Watson, both relatively popular to start the season, but particularly Watson. But Max Plath looked pretty good on the edge there. Whether that's the best thing for the Dolphins or not, long term we'll see. But they've got a ton of options, a ton of issues now at back row with Oren Keeley named to start. Finifuiaki is out with a concussion. He'll be back next week. And Connolly Lemuelu is out for a month at least with a fractured cheekbone. Do you like Plath on the edge is my first question there.
I don't like it for the work rate as much as the middle, for sure. I mean, he jagged that try, which was, you know, basically he rolled over the line without anyone in front of him on the weekend. He's going to get 80 minutes. I'm pretty much
locked into that. 58 base plus power. Like, that's...
It's good.
That's pretty... That's very good.
Yeah. So I think very, very secure. And that duality now with the with looking at the cheapies are probably not going to be in your side for too long. I really like Plath as a play. Very close to getting in on him. I just went Watson at the end, just looking at
bit cheaper.
Watson. A little bit cheaper, but also just he was about 68 average Watson at hooker playing those high minutes, anything above 55, 60 minutes. So, yeah, like both of them in the side, I think they're going to churn. They're just the meat and potatoes boys going to jack some tries as Plath did on the weekend. So, yeah, very high on him. I wouldn't be against anyone bringing him in if you've got some cash this week.
And you made it pretty clear to me before that you wouldn't be selling Connor Watson.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'd take both in my team right now, I'll tell you that.
Yep. Yep. What about Mamazelis, another name that you mentioned before there? He scored 37 points on the weekend for Souths. I didn't see much of this game. I was away on a very unsuccessful golf weekend. But he scored 37 points in 72 minutes. I would be a little concerned there if I was a Mamazelis owner.
Slightly concerning. The big concern for me is that we know, and we know personally with a little bit of Damien Cook intel, Wayne Bennett hates a running, ball-playing hooker. Like, absolutely. Hates it. Doesn't see it any relevance, you know. contrary to seeing the likes of Harry Grant et al. So that's a big concern for Mamazelis. Like 39 in base plus power, it's okay. You know, I think probably going up from those other cheapies, you were expecting him to maybe lock away maybe 45 to 50, you know, averaging about that to just start the engines going and get up that 150K. But yeah, a little bit concerning and maybe not your starting hooker going forward.
Yep. And then the other one who's on the horizon this week, Appy Korosau. It'd be interesting to see if he has the goal kicking. Dewey's looking like he's kicking pretty well. He's probably just one to watch out for now.
Yeah, over 600K. Tigers didn't score many points down at, where were they? Leichhardt on the weekend. So, Campbelltown, sorry. I mean, I would wait. If he gets the goal kicking, very interested. But over 600K, like just to wait and watch to be bringing in someone as at that premium price, particularly if he loses the goal kicking, which I think he will.
Yeah. He's a wait and see. No, not many would have started with Happy. Let's move down now. Just a quick couple of mentions to some higher work rate hookers there. Blake Brayley, Cam McInnes, both high base plus power, Dan.
Yeah, very high. 60s, it's what you want to see. Both options, but I don't know. You wouldn't bring them in now. I wouldn't be excited. It's that meat and potatoes you're looking at there. So wait for another round. If Brayley drags another attacking stat this week, goes 100, like certainly could be a potential option. I don't like him over the likes of the Max Plath and Connor Watson, who've got the jewel there, though.
Agree. And Panthers, obviously, like Sharks aren't always going to be on the back foot as much as they were against the Panthers as well. So his tackles probably aren't sustainable either at that point. But
yeah, agree.
Certainly worth a watch. Down to front row forward now. And this has been a very, very interesting position to start the year. We got some absolute beasts up there. Terrell May, 65 minutes. Biggest engine one of the biggest engines I've ever seen. The amount of work that guy can get through. Payne Haas, obviously, we've spoken about 83 base plus power in 49 minutes. What an animal. And then AFB as well for the Sharkies. He's just picked up right where he left off in try-scoring fashion. How are we approaching these big boys, Dan, and which ones do you own?
I'd like them all. I've gone very stock standard, Terrell May and Corey
the big horse.
Yep. Shout out to Lindsay Smith, 70 in base alone. Like, I picked him up in a draft team. I'm very, very chuffed with myself about that. But he looks very good. He looks bigger.
60
very
minutes.
Very involved. 60 minutes. It's perfect. So he would be the budget. And I'm not against, like, going him versus maybe a Pat Carrigan, Payne Haas, maybe. Like, obviously, a little bit less attacking flair. He does have an offload in him, though, so he didn't show it much on that game, but certainly he's in a great side.
They don't really offload. They don't really offload Penrith. They're just not... That's not their game plan.
No. But, you know, if he's going 74 base plus power every week at 520K, he's just gonna make bank and you can lock him up there. So definitely not against it.
Why wouldn't you just rather go up to Haas?
Well, it's, 140K, so it's very team dependent. It's a fair bit of cash to go up to him. And if you're thinking, well, I want to go hard in centre wing still, I want to go hard in halves, I want to bring in some premium guys there, I really don't mind the Lindsay Smith play.
Would you be adverse to caught the big horse going down to the back to your back row and then being able to get one of these guys? Because genuinely, like, there's not a ton of premium second row options at the moment. Obviously, Ola Kawatu had a good game, and we'll get to second row in a minute. Could you see Horsburgh going down and then having that second premium? You know, most people have Terrell May, but, you know, your Haas or your AFB or, you know, a more budget option in Lindsay Smith or even Toby Couchman, who had a monstrous base score as well on the weekend.
Yeah, I don't mind at all. Like, I think that front row forward, you're just looking for that churn out of the base. So, yeah, I don't see problem with running horse this early in the season. Of course, you'd like Ola Kawatu. Of course, you'd like Eli Katoa. You'd like these super premium guys who are going to score tries there. But it's early season. You cannot, you just can't afford all that. So, horse anywhere in that starting pack. I went for the strategy of running basically just five starters in my front row, second row forward. So all the pretty much filth on the bench. So I'm going to try to run that for as long as I can until I can get the premiums I like in that area and try to have the heavy cash fullbacks, halfbacks, and center wing.
Well, that was a bit of my argument to go Haas this week because it would leave me a bit lighter in the back row with no bench. But if I go Haas and then I know that I've got to go sort of Ponga to Yongi at some point in the next few weeks as well, potentially, that's going to free up a ton of cash for me to then go, okay, I want Eli Katoa for round four or onwards, or I want Ola Kawatu because he just can't stop scoring tries or whatever it is, or I want AFB or whoever it might be. Yeah. I've got so much flex that, that's kind of like, I feel like I can sort my side out that way, but I don't mind running thin at 2RF particularly.
Yeah, I think that's the way you look at it. Horsburgh isn't a long-term solution in 2RF, but he's certainly fine at the moment if you want to pick a big premium up there.
Fine as a fourth 2RF, though.
Yeah, longer term. Yeah, no problems. Yeah. But what I'd probably, once he's fattened up, I'd look to get him to one of those premiums if I can.
It just depends how he's going. Like, if he's still busting out his 60s each week. But yeah, if he's 600K and you can straight swap him to, you know, one of those other guns at the same price, then yeah. That'll be the way forward. Just one about front row and second row there that I want to talk about because it comes up a lot in a lot of content that's out there in Supercoach is around like upside and guys who can have that ceiling, particularly at front row. Like we hear a lot, oh, Payne Haas isn't going to hurt you or AFB's not going to hurt you. You know, they're guys who can't, you know, consistently go over 100, whereas Eli Katoa or Ola Kawatu, they can hurt you because they've got that bit more of a ceiling. They score more tries. How do you feel about that from a theoretical perspective? And then, like, does that worry you? Because in my mind, it's all just about what they average for the period of the period that you own them. And I think those guys, you know, like Haas and AFB and Terrell May and stuff, can average. They can easily out average, you know, those guys with more upside, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I think you said it. Like, you're looking at an average across the board for the forwards there. Like, obviously you can pick up center wings and fullbacks given their runs that they've got for three or four or five games. You're looking at that as the play. I guess you could say that about second back row as well. Like Ola Kawatu, Eli Katoa, like looking at them, they're just in for a lot more tries as they're more points coming up. But you know, I'm going to give it another week on any front row forward decisions. Have a look, particularly at the Broncos boys, what they're doing in attack, offloads. And then I'm still averse to going high premiums, particularly maybe, you know, if I've got 600K in the front row forward, I think that's too much. So, just going to wait and see and just wait for the looking at the potential for attacking upside there.
We mentioned 2RF there. So we've basically started the chat. We've chatted about Big Maxi Plath on the edge. A few cheapies to chat about, Dan. Oren Keeley makes his way into the Dolphins lineup this week. He's a classic. Just wait and see. He's probably not holding a spot there as it is, but he does look like a decent little player.
Yeah, I like the look of his stats for sure. Never really seen him on the field, but looks like a good base man. So watch out for him. Looking at sort of potential round four, round five pickups.
Same boat. Kai O'Donnell, Cowboys. He's taken Jeremiah Nanai's spot, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. I don't know. I said a pre-pod like this. Mm. This extended bench for Cowboys. It would have me a little bit scared if I owned some of those Cowboys. You've got some class on the extended bench. Jason Tamalolo's there as well. Could be coming in. So a couple of cheapies that look appealing at the Cowboys in the pack. Sam McIntyre, these new guys coming out in bottom price, but I would be very wary. I'm interested to see an hour before kickoff what happens, or 24-hour cutoffs.
Can't go near any of those Cowboys at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're just that bench and rotation is just all over the shop. And if they're playing like crap as well, then big avoids for the Cowboys boys at the moment. We got Fichetti, who starts at lock for the Roosters this week.
Yeah, just wanted to watch again. You've got a couple of outs there. I'm not sure. Radley's obviously had a few concussions, so it might not just be your standard 10-day protocol with him. I'd be waiting on him to round three, because 198K, if he's churning out 40 points a game, not too shabby as a downgrade, particularly if Geimer is looking on the outs. You know, you make 40K from that and you get the ball rolling with some cash gen. So just wait on him.
Oh, Geimer outs. Not happy about that. He got big minutes last week too. Obviously, they pulled Tuilagi hooked him. Geimer out is very interesting given he's kind of been touted for a while, and like he played all the preseason minutes and then he's got 69 minutes in game one, round one, and now he's just out the door. But Riles has obviously seen something there. He's dropped a few of those boys. So anyway, we'll move forward. A couple of the big boppers, Dan. Obviously, David Fifita for the Titans in their first match now. He's been named on the bench behind Cleese Haas. What do you think that does prospects from a minutes perspective?
I think he comes on after 20 and plays the rest of the game. I think he's 60 minutes on the edge there. It's just not what you want to see for 750K. Like, you just want your man out there for 80 minutes if you can. Mm. Dez has done it before. He obviously likes that strategy a little bit. I don't mind it from a classic NRL perspective in terms of like just miss out on some of the hard stuff and then let him fire later on. But I think he's still going to, his PPM's still going to be really high. He's probably the most attacking second rower in the game. They always look for him. He's in what I think is a very stable Titans team this year. Great spine. I think they're only on the up. Tino back, I think, helps him as well. Definitely, if you own him, I wouldn't be too disheartened that he's on the bench this week.
Yep. Big Hamole Olakau'atu had a big game for the Manly Seagulls, as did Eli Katoa. They both got over the stripe. Are they short-term targets, if you don't own?
Oh, Big Ola looked phenomenal. I mean, obviously came up against a dire Cowboys side, but...
Yep.
I mean, it's just absolutely phenomenal. Look fit. They pulled him off even late. Like, there's a chance he gets another attacking stat there. So I really like that even, like, some of the backline plays, they had Garrick running that short line with Ola kind of leading out the back. Like, not many second rowers are going to be doing that. So they're obviously seeing him as a massive target there. Manly have a lot of games at Four Pines starting up. There's an argument to say I'd much prefer Ola over Payne Haas as well. So just given the attacking upside and what we saw of him on the weekend.
I know Jono was keen. He brought him in. He was all over the narrative around him moving into the leadership group and really maturing. And and look, maybe that's on the money. We'll have to see how we go. But yeah, he had a big 100-point game. And just looks the business. He's kind of been a bit flattered to deceive on occasions in Supercoach, but you're just one of those guys you just love to own. All right, let's move down now to halfback, Dan. Obviously, Nathan Cleary is the man, a big captaincy choice this week them home to the Roosters. I do think the Roosters, like you said, it was a bit one of those games. Like, they had injuries. Their young bench just couldn't really stand up to the pressure. of what Brisbane were throwing at them, like Payne, Haas and Carrigan, like you said, just manhandled some of those young kids. But Cleary's a clear captaincy option this week if you own. Nicho Hynes, big watch. You definitely wouldn't want to be selling him though this week.
Huge watch. I'm not jumping off Nicho just yet. That, like, seeing the Cowboys on the weekend, what he could do. Like, if he goes back to kicking, like, you'd be absolutely kicking yourself if you dropped him this week. So
you better be kicking.
very excited to see that right edge of the Sharkies this week. I think Cleary, right now, in terms of captaincy options, it's captain obvious. Like, you just got to pick the guys who look like they're going to be the part. There's no point in potting up a captain at the moment. Very much keen to watch both Hynes and Cleary this week.
Especially from a fixture perspective, like, there are some really, these good teams versus these bad teams. Like, you've just got to be jumping on these gun, you know, Cleary. It's really just a Cleary Ponga turbo.
It's a pick-up.
Flywheel.
I think captain would be fullback as the number one. I think that's probably the safest. And this week's a bit interesting because you've got Ponga, Turbo and Cleary all playing very early. I'm going to skip Turbo just because it's maybe low points
Me
in
too.
Warriors. Night game and Warriors, possibly a little bit of a
that's
bounce
a Podfather,
back.
That's a Podfather special, that one. That you can't captain an away player at a night game in New Zealand.
Very specific.
It's always a bit dewy, hostile crowd.
He's got some good points, the Podfather. This week, Ponga against the Dolphins straight up into Cleary. That's probably going to be the most popular opinion there.
I agree. I think actually Turbo will still be probably the most popular vice captain, just given how well he went last week. I'm not fully ruling out the Turbo vice captain into Cleary captain. The thing there, though, to consider is they're playing, it's a 6 p.m. into the 8 p.m. Friday. So you've got about 2 minutes to decide if you're going to do that. So I'm looking at Ponga VC there. Anyway, we digress. We've thrown in a little captaincy chat, bonus captaincy chat there at halfback. Tom Duffy, Dan, bit underwhelming first game. He had 27 points in 80 minutes. Did he have a try assist?
No try assist. No, okay. He kind of, I think it was either him or Braden Burns bombed a try. Yeah, he could have got some attack. Right. Saw that. Very disturbing, the drink he took the last kick. I'm not sure what is going on there.
I like that content.
Shaking in my boots if I was a Duffy owner. The really interesting player, I think, has come out of it now is Humphreys from the Bunnies. Mm. I think he looks very good. Very versatile. The only risk factor there is does he go to the bench because of that versatility that he's got when Dodd is...
Well, Dodd's in the 19. Dodd's in the 19 this week. Mm. And he was training with a medical vest. I think he's just an option once he's... Like, let's get through this week with Nicho, I think. And then, see, they're home to... Sharks are home to Souths next week. Like, that's a plum fixture for Nicho as well. Like, he's just going to be... If he... Unless Nico's going to leak a ton of cash, I'd be struggling to see the sell there. But yeah, Humphreys is right on the radar, and that might be an easy shift for Duffy owners if he looks like he's not going to make the cash.
That's the thing. You're going, if he gets another sub 30 score this week, Duffy, it's not going to be rolling very quickly, even if he keeps that spot. Jake Clifford again named number 18. So
he's eight. No, he's gone up. He was 19. Now he's 18.
Bit of risk, but the swing to Humphreys if it's looking good, it's very much harder to go to those premiums at halfback unless you've got, say, Deal Brown at 5'8" and you're swinging him up there. Like, I don't see that as a bad play at all, going Humphreys for Duffy next week, but just obviously hold off this week.
All right, let's get down to 5'8" now, Dan. Quick shout out to Cherry Evans and Adam Reynolds, the old boys, just getting it done with two big tons. They'll have their admirers, but you've got to think that they're both a stay-away job.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. That's all needs to be said. All right, 5'8". Probably the biggest flop of round one from a Supercoach perspective was Lukey Metcalf, 12 points. Very disappointing. I went with the Munster-Metcalf combo. And the reason that I end up with Munster was because I thought, well, I'm just going to give Metcalf one more turn in round two before deciding what I want to do with him, if he's a sell or not. And he's home to Manly, which, look, it's certainly not a great fixture, but they're at least they're back at home. he could bounce back. And, you know, he's obviously going to be highly sold this week. So I think we're getting a good price to get a good Metcalf score this week.
Yeah, very keen on playing Metcalf this week, holding him. I know a lot of trading and out, but hoping for a bounce back. But as you said, I did the same as you. I had Dewey and Metcalf to start with. And then after Metcalf's score, I said, hold on, I'm going to need a premium up there. So I went Munster as well. So, a little bit concerning if you've got Dewey and Metcalf both there. Maybe that's what people are switching around for. They're trying to look for a premium to go up. But very much hoping for a bounce back this week. And I think he can do it with the goal kicking. Warriors a bit better. Not playing the dominant pack as were Canberra in Vegas. That was very tough times for them. So, yeah, it could be a bounce back for the Warriors.
They were embarrassed. Mm. Like, they'll be, if they're not fired up here, like, then their season is off the rails after round two. Like, they need to be really fired up for a big performance here back home to Manly off their Vegas loss. I couldn't work out that Warriors like rotation at all. Like, they had their two big boppers, Barnett and Fisher Harris, who were by far their best forwards, and they brought on Aaron Clark and who's that other small forward they've got? Dylan Walker. Mm. Like, how do you compete with Joe Tarpany with Dylan Walker and Aaron Clark? Like, you need I couldn't work it out whatsoever. But I think they'll be fired up for a big game. Over at the Titans, their first game of the season, they play the Bulldogs on Sunday night, which is always an interesting time slot. You get a few iffy results there. But Jaden Campbell and Alexander Brimson, both available at 5'8", both duels. One, Brimson, obviously centre wing, and Campbell, halfback. They're right on the radar as serious options from the get-go.
I very keen on Jaden Campbell. Even, you know, strategy wise, looking at bringing him in maybe possibly next week. Instead of going one of those premium front row forwards, maybe go another premium 5'8" there. I think again, otherwise it's probably just a wait up against the Dogs this week. You probably just get a good look at him. I think Brimson as well. If you didn't start with him, don't bring him in this week. Have a good look. No. Big injury history. I really like him in the position. He's got a great average at 5'8", over 68, I think, historically playing at 5'8" in the last few years. Yep. So, yeah, definitely a big watch on the Titans boys this week in the halves.
That's a tricky game for them at the Dogs, away at Bulldogs this week, but then they've actually got a really good run after that before their round 12 bye. Just a couple to throw on the radar there at 5'8". Adam Dewey... He's one who looked a bit disappointing, Danny. He had 41 with a try assist. We put out a tweet last week saying after the Metcalf score that you might want to start with Dewey at your centre wing so that you could flip him up to 5'8". Mm-hmm. Could you look at him as a rage trade out this week, or probably just give it another week and then he could be on the chopping block round three?
Look, give it another week. I think he's a definite trade out if he doesn't get the goal kicking. The one good thing about Dewey, which I didn't maybe should have expected, but he was playing left edge there, and it's a very dominant left edge. Greg Marju for the Knights, I was looking up his stats, just how he went. He didn't make a tackle all game, zero tackles.
Dewey's on the Tigers left edge?
Yeah. So, but this is it. So Greg Marju didn't have any people running at him all
on the
game,
right,
which is the right edge for the Tigers. Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
so
correct.
Just Tigers are just going to pump that left edge, which Dewey is there. So I think he's going to get some attack just out of that. They've got a good run coming up as well. I am very high on Dewey as a player. So, and if he keeps the goal kicking, I think he could still maybe not, you know, I think his floor might be 35 to 40. He's going to do a job for you there. So I would be holding for the moment.
Okay. Yep. No, I can't argue with that. Down to centre wing, and plenty to talk about. And the main thing that I really want to get stuck into with centre wing, Danny Boy, is the cheapies. We spoke a little bit about it in trade strategy, but I want to go through the cheapies one by one and talk through their prospects and how likely you are to go early on them. So let's start with those Broncos boys, Jesse Arthurs.
Yeah, don't go near him this week. My personal preference. He's not cheap.
I just brought him in.
Yeah, well, good on you. You enjoy that Jesse Arthurs special. Like, I think his base is just not there at all. So you're relying, and they might do it. He might get two tries, two attacking stats a game for the next three, and then you're flying.
Correct.
He's not cheap enough for my liking. you know, okay. Particularly when you've got Shibasaki there at 232K, who's also playing in that team.
I want to talk about Shibasaki. AKA Young GI.
Yeah,
So, look, I'm a Shibasaki owner and I'm very happy, right? Mm-hmm. You look good, left center, Mariner presumably warming that right center for Stags, but I would still not be any. I think it's still between 15% and 25% that he doesn't keep the spot when Stags comes back. Maybe more. Now there's a chance Stags comes back for round three. I think it's more likely to be around four or five. So it's a bit annoying if you don't own Shibasaki. But I'd be very hesitant to bring him in round two. Jono mentioned on the snap, like, let's just get another week of info, or it might have been Tubes even somehow. gee, we're giving Tubes a hard time tonight. Chat out Tubes, he couldn't make it on tonight. But I think you just want that info for Shibasaki this week, and I'd be very reluctant, even though how good he looked, to go a week early.
Yeah, like, I think you just got to wait. Guarantee the cash rise next week if he gets named at centre. Small risk in, as you said, Stags coming back. So, I'd wait. And particularly I'd wait. I wouldn't be rage trading someone like a Purdue out. You know, that was a tough game for him. I think he's just a hold. Most people have him. He's going to generate some cash at time unless he gets dropped. But you can't anticipate that for the meantime.
No, exactly. I'm holding Purdue. Just a crappy game for them. He's a hold. Tamale, Dan, he's held the spot. Obviously, a bit of uncertainty with Xavier Savage being suspended and Hopewadi coming back onto, presumably, he'll go on the right wing.
I would assume so. I was looking at the numbers beforehand. Like, I thought Tamale played number five.
Literal numbers on their back.
The literal numbers on their back. You know, the switch would have very much concerned me, but he's held on to the number two there. So I think he's probably okay. Again, like, just a little bit of risk to take him this week when Hopper Whitey's back. And is it Savage back next week? Or
yeah, he's just got a
week.
Yeah,
so yeah, I just wait and see on him as well. So a lot of these guys, I think probably the safest is probably Robert Toyer.
Bobby Toyer?
So I don't know why you wouldn't have started with him in your start squad.
Everyone's got him, surely.
Yeah, like, you know, so what are we saying? We're saying most of them, maybe apart from your boy, Jesse Arthurs, with the blonde streaks in his hair.
If you like Arthurs, he's the man this week. I'm putting up.
Yeah, they're right.
I think Tamale and Sheba, you got to wait, unfortunately. But that's okay, because they're just easy options for next week.
Yep.
Some of these more expensive center wings, Dan, obviously they're not the focus, but we got guys who did well, Sharp and Tui Pilotu and Jermaine Asako. I was keen to take a bit of a flyer on Asako, but just decided to go for a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, look good. Two tries, you know, 90, goal kicking. It's just somehow, even though Dolphins might not be that good a team, they do find the line and they're looking for that right edge in Asako. So look, again, like, I wouldn't be just going off that two tries and 90 and going, I'll get him straight in. Like, good, well done if you started with him. Tui Pilotu is very interesting. Like, that left edge from Dragons, like, they're just going there very often. Val Holmes, very happy to shuffle the ball along as well. Looking very, very good.
We saw it last year. Murray Tuilagi had some relevance outside Val. And obviously, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see the irrelevance of Murray Taulagi this year without Val inside him. That'll be very interesting.
He's got Purdue.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, as good as Purdue might be, like, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
All right, let's get down to fullback now, Dan, to round out the positional analysis. And Yongi was the main talking point here. I think he did get 69. I don't own him, so I kind of didn't.
He did very well. Yongi, 24 touches. You're going to get some attack there. And very unlucky, didn't give it to my boy, Will Penasini, short ball. Instead, he gave it to Xavier Coates, or Will Warburg.
Yeah, intercept. Yep.
Yeah, intercept try. So could have been a bit
brick.
More. Yeah.
The brick.
Very happy. Brick. Very happy as an owner.
I love the brick. What about the happy? Like I said, like, as a non-owner, obviously if you're an owner, fine, you got him, keeping him, gonna make money. As a non-owner, it's just another big watch this week. and just see how that needs to play out. But that's a decision for next week. I'm sure that'll be a huge segment next week on the pod. The premiums, Dan, got to start with Paps, the platinum blonde. Oh my god. Oh my goodness. Jeez. That looked good. It so looked good.
So good. I mean, he's got his pace back. Obviously against a Parasite that were just, they're just in shambles in the forwards particularly. Now, Jackie Boy Williams, like, as much as he tries really hard, he can't move left or right. Is he playing middle? Is he playing back row? He doesn't kind of know where he's going. He's obviously a very good, strong player, I'd say, but good is probably a strong term for that. But
yeah, it's not
anyway,
good.
Anyway, Pappy, yeah. Very good. Very
get on to Pappy.
Yeah, I know. Look great. what do you do? He's can't bring him in. He's on the bye. He's got Panthers round three. The only thing, like Pappy, is like you're looking at the draws. You're looking at Storm draw. You're looking at Broncos draw. You're looking at yep. Knights draw. Like you just don't have four fullback spots to take. Like no. Turbo, Ponga, Walsh, and Pappy. I think, and maybe even Kimmy is going to come onto the scene as well. Like it's really just who you've got now, stick fat with them, maybe make some fullback swings in the next few rounds. But I would just hold firm with what you've got at the moment there.
Yep. No, I agree. Captaincy, obviously, we mentioned. I'm really excited to own Reece Walsh. Like that draw they got coming up, I think he can average 100 over the next month.
Yeah.
And pump there. Obviously, Turbo owners all very happy. Tubes obviously doesn't own Turbo again. Sorry, Tubes. And he said it could have been a 180 game, and I've got to agree. Like he looked like gold on the weekend, and very very happy to own.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll round us out for fullback there, Dan. I think not much more to say. Pretty steady position. Not much more going on.
I think probably just shout out like King Gutho, 100 plus, turning up for the Dragons. No chance of bringing him in just with the plethora of other options.
Just good on you, Gutho.
Good on you, Gutho. I nearly said it on the pod last time. I'm like, in the trials watching the highlights, I thought it was Eisenhuth backing up on the inside with his shaved head of Gutho, but it was Gutho. So. Yeah, he's lost a touch of speed for sure, but
he still does got look that a bit on the treadmill like Eisenhuth.
he does still have that a little bit of that finesse, a bit of that flair. Probably going to see the dance at some stage this year. So good on him getting a ton first up.
Dan, pod of the week time, and I'm going to throw to you here because I'm really struggling for a pod of the week, and so I'm going to let you take all the glory here for pod of the week.
Well, look, for someone who's not even on the pod, Tubes is getting plenty of mentions here, plenty of airtime. One of his boys, I can't say it's my boy. I have plenty of boys, but definitely one of Tubes' boys is my pod of the this week. Coming off the bye last week, 0.2% owned. In the centres, which I prefer on the wing, but he's just this huge base man, particularly with some wingers who aren't doing much base there, is Phil Sami. Looks a goer. I think Titans will be decent this year. His floor is incredible for a centre winger.
Very good worker.
So if he gets a fair few points, his floor, particularly in the centres with a few more tackles, is going to be even better. So, yeah, very much locking him as my pot of the week. Not trading him in by any means, but certainly one to watch out for at 0.2% ownership.
Yeah, look, I'm going to have to stick with my boy Jesse Arthurs for pot of the week. Oh, I know he's like highly traded, but... I'm telling you, they are
little bit of vomit.
He's going to make quick cash. He's going to make quick cash, and he could outs on that left edge. That just looked dynamic for Brisbane.
Sure,
You can play him in your 17. Great draw. Yeah, look, I don't know the route to him particularly just yet, but like all I know is
how much cash is he going to make this week, buddy?
Well, obviously none, but that's not the point. He is going to make cash next week and beyond. So, and he's going to get points for you this week.
Sure.
So, yeah. Anyway. All right, Dan, that's going to see us out for tonight. Great little pod. Really pumped for round two. And yeah, we've got some big decisions to make and looking forward to a bit more content and whatnot coming out from the SC Ballers. Do not forget to sign up at baller.promo. Cheers, Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. Looking forward to round two.
Yeah, you beauty. All right, enjoy the week, guys. Thank you.